pray that it would bring forth fruit within each of us, that it would produce meat that we can use to distribute and feed your people in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen. Today's date is January the 4th, 2026. Welcome to the extended Teller Goodwin clan. I'm glad you're here. And there's more of y'all than there of us. I'm sure y'all can handle it. Natalie mentioned that I'm a guest speaker, probably because Natalie and Justin, they do a lot of the teaching, and they've been doing that a lot here as their responsibilities have increased. So, anywho, let's turn in your Bibles, please, to James chapter 1. I'm a little bit cheating here because on Thursdays we've been going through James, but I kind of worked on this before this time, so I don't feel like I'm being dishonest in doing this. But it's James 1. I'm going to start with verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. To me, it's a shame for that important passage for it to be so condensed that you almost have to break it apart so you can get a bigger understanding of it and get the benefit out of it for yourself. Verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Diverse temptations is also like many temptations. I think we ought to use this, when we have a trial, we need to use this as an opportunity for joy. But you know, most of us will read that verse so fast, we don't even think about joy. But it says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. So as soon as you see something going on, or have a circumstance in your life that is a trial or a tribulation, God bless you, from the very first, we should count it all joy. From the very beginning to the middle to the end. Not just at the very beginning, but the joy is what we need to start raising in ourselves to handle these circumstances. The good, the bad, the ugly, and everything in between from start to finish. That's what we need to do. Is start off with a joy. Verse 3 says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Your trials test your faith. When you have a trial come up, how you're going to know how you're dealing with it is like a measurement of how much faith is. If that trial is on top of you, your faith might need a little bit more boosting. If you can't get you can't solve this problem, then you need to make sure that you are prayed up, that you have your fellowship, that you're doing for others, things that are going to make you strong. And if all else fails, do like this says, you know, ask of God and he will give it to you. And we all need that for sure.
Amen.
So your trials test your faith, develops patience, perseverance, it forms endurance in you, because the more you go through these things, the stronger you get. It might not be right away, but every time you do it, you get a little bit stronger. This is how you let your patience have her way. Let endurance develop within you. Verse 4 says, but let patience have her perfect work. It's not you just don't forget about patience, so it's a word in the book. This is something that you actually need. And once you develop it, the patience is going to kick over if you develop it properly. It'll take over and you have that extra help, but you got to keep feeding it. Let patience have a perfect work that you may be perfect. In other words, that you may be mature and entire or complete, wanting nothing. It'd be a real good place if you can just say, I lack nothing, I have everything I need. But we got to get to that place where the patience is working that work within our hearts and in our bodies. And, you know, we also need to not to forget to count it all joy. Instead of coming here, and I know sometimes we get here and we chit-chat about different things that are going on, we ought to kind of set a goal to think about things that are joyful and that's going to help this overall circumstance rather than
true.
Just go over all the circumstance and feel like there's no... there's no good outcome for it. So from the first outcome that you have a trial or tribulation, start thinking in here about joy. There's different things we can do to build our joy. We'll talk about that. For me, that's probably something I need more of myself. If I got a trial, at least now, lately, the joy's not there. I'm going to let you know. But the recognition of it is a start.
Yes.
It's a start.
Amen.
That I can be joyful about. Nehemiah 8 and verse 10. I'll read it. Don't go to it. Then he said unto them, I'm sorry, I'm not giving you the context, but I think this is good for us all. Go your way, eat the fat. I can do that. And drink the sweet. I could drink some sweet, and send portions to them for whom nothing is prepared. Folks, you know, that don't have any food, or they're so busy that they don't have anything prepared. Take them something, because in giving them something, their joy will bounce off and get onto you. So if you got a trial or a tribulation, you don't know where to start, get yourself something to eat. Get yourself something to drink and find somebody to bless. Because in blessing somebody else, that's how you're going to get blessed and your joy is going to be full. For this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. I don't think that the Lord just wasted ink on paper there. The joy of the Lord is your strength. We are familiar with the joy of the Lord is your strength, but we don't always use this verse to our advantage.
Amen.
And when we're out of gas, we need to get some joy stirred up within us. And the best way to start, get something to eat, get something to drink, find somebody to fellowship with. Find somebody that you can share your fellowship, your food or drink with, you know, to kind of, you know, break the ice. Sometimes if you don't have that staring you in the face all the time, get your mind off it so you can see clearly. There's a point and a purpose in why, you know, this is written for us. These are all good practical points for us to use. I think that's one of the best things we know about the Word is its practicality. Instead of focusing on the these and the thous and, oh, that's so complicated to understand. Find something you do understand it. It's life to yourself. The next, we're going to talk about how trials produce faith in us. We approach trials using joy, and the outcome is faith. And the more we do this, the stronger we get, the more endurance is developed, and the more patience that's developed within us. James 2 and verse 17 says, "Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone." And with Nehemiah 8, verse 10 talks about the joy, but when you realize that doing those things, help, you know, spending time with others and doing things to help your joy, which is, if you do that, it builds your faith. Because you wouldn't dare say, I'm not going to go call up Kelly, for example, and go to lunch with him. But us doing that together, it builds our faith. And sometimes it's not Kelly. Kelly will call us, and we'll go to lunch together. And it's an act of faith in him doing that, because spending time with others and fellowshipping with others causes us to grow in faith, and it builds our joy also if we're lucky. And we know that Hebrews 11 says, "But without faith it's impossible to please God." So the things that we have to do to move, we got to realize, I'm not just doing this because I'm making it up. I'm doing it as an act of faith. And you wouldn't do that if you did it just for no reason. Then that's not really testing your faith. But you say, if you say to yourself, okay, I'm doing it because of faith or to grow my strength, then that's going to build faith inside of us. So now we got two easy ways to build up faith, is to spend time with each other. Then we should also pray, of course, and read the Word. Reading the Word is very important to build up our faith. I was studying the portion of that, it says, "Let patience have her perfect work," which is very poetic, kind of flowery language, but let's break that down. When I looked it up, it says patience. It's able to accept or tolerate delays. Okay. Problems or sufferings without becoming annoyed or anxious. And I'm sure everybody's had this said to you before. Be patient, your time will come. Or I'm coming, just be patient. But it doesn't really have any teeth in it. There's no strength in patience. What does that do? That just says, sit there and let it hit you on the head until you get tired of it, right? Oh, be patient. It really doesn't do anything. But for that definition, I think the Lord wants us to kind of understand the definition of it a little bit, or come up with our own definition, because this is kind of weak and it's negative. So let's kind of view it as the Lord wants us to change how we view patience so that it can grow, make us more powerful in Him. All right, let's turn to Romans 5. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. So patience is kind of like a stepping stone for all these other things. You got patience, and you got experience, and then you got hope. So these are our little stepping stones to get us to move so that we can be effective in this life. So I say, let's start seeing our trials kind of as our exercise equipment, kind of like a treadmill. We got trials, and you know, to exercise, you'll get on a treadmill and you start walking and say, okay, this is my trial, I'm going to walk this sucker. And whatever you see that you've got to do, do what you're responsible for doing. See if you have responsibilities towards other people. Pray and ask God, what do you want me to do in this circumstance? And just work it as best you can, kind of like a treadmill. Or instead of seeing it like an annoyance, instead of having to be an annoyance or something that is really getting on your nerves, or say, oh, well, you'll get through this trial, you'll get through this tribulation. Do something to it to make it better instead of having it sit on top of you. If you were to go to the gym and do the treadmill and it was on a certain speed, like a 2 or a 3, and you're just kind of coasting along, what would happen if you're working on that and you just stop? You're going to fly off the back end. It's not going to benefit you.
Sucks.
I've come close to doing it. I haven't been that bad. Or let's say you got a trial here and you're bench pressing and you're lifting up the weight. And let's say you just quit. You just quit working that trial and you have that pressure up on your chest. And it's crushing you so that you're immobile and you're ineffective and you're unsuccessful. You need to remember, push up those things to God so that you can get stronger.
Yes,
keep
yes.
walking off these trials and tribulations so that you can build some endurance and build your faith up so that you can survive, because that's what you got to do. Encourage each other to keep on moving. Keep on moving. You don't want to fall off the treadmill, and you don't want the weights to get up. But, you know, you've seen people in the gym, they're lifting something that's too heavy for them. A lot of times they need to get help. That's why they got a spotter there, to help lift up the weight so that you can get out from under it. You need other people. You need to fellowship with people. Your family you need to fellowship with. You need to fellowship with your church folks, your church family, strangers, your neighbors. Me and Stan have connections in our neighborhood. It's good to let people know who you are and your belief in God and how you are trying to live your life, because you never know. I mean, I got neighbors that ask me to pray for this, that, and the other. Once they know that you're a Christian, you're not in your little shell, in your my little group, they'll start trying to get information out of you that's going to benefit them as well. So the trials are really good for us, even though that they are a pain. And I guess our mode of operation would be to make sure that our faith is built up through prayer, worship, reading the Word, fellowshipping with others. Do all those things that are going to build up your faith. If you're feeling like you're not complete or you're lacking, then that verse says, wanting nothing, count it all joy that you've tried, you know, about your trials and tribulations, that the trying of your faith produces patience. Lacking nothing. If we're doing all what we're supposed to be doing, we should get to the place where we feel mature, we feel complete. And the one way we do feel complete is if we're in the Lord. If we're in fellowship with the Lord and we have His Holy Spirit in us, we're complete in Him. So I know that there's certain things that I have in myself where I feel incomplete, inadequate, and I know that that's a red flag to me. Okay, how can I address this trial and tribulation? Well, first thing I need to do at first is to go ahead and get something to eat and something sweet to drink, and I'm going to invite a buddy, which is usually Stan. And then I'm going to start looking for the joy. How can I find joy in this circumstance so that you can count it all joy? Thinking, this trial and tribulation is going to make me better and closer to the Lord. So we go, okay, well, we don't know what the end amount is. We do know that if we complain about the trial and tribulation, God does not like complainers. So we really need to start thinking, how can we get past this and have joy take an effect, pray and read the words so that we can build our faith and get strong so we can make it through these trials? And realizing that, you know what, have you ever heard that thing, if you stir up something, anyway, if you stir up something, it kind of makes a smell, you know? Anyway, I don't know, you guys don't pick up dog poo in your neighborhood, but if you stir it up, definitely, it's a smell. So don't stir up anything that you know is a circumstance, a stinky trial. Don't do it, okay? Just try to look for the good things. Try to find the joy. Try to get the fellowship. Build up yourself in the Word and you're spending your time with the Lord. Raise your hand now. Is there anybody in here who's got a trial or a circumstance right on your plate now? Or am I the only one? Okay. Well, I'm glad I'm going to hang out with Beth.
Hey, I'm only in a season.
Oh, good. It's a nice season.
It's a nice season.
Yeah. It's cool and nice, except for maybe the night. That's usually when it's miserably cold. Or freezing cold, at least.
Well, I tell you what, is there anybody that would like to share? I got XYZ circumstance, and I'm going to try to use joy. I'm going to make sure I'm prayed up, read the word, and fellowship. Is there anybody that would like to share a circumstance, and we could be in prayer with you about that? Go ahead, Dr. Tellers.
I have a computer that I've been, that needs the joy of the Lord so I can get it taken care of. And I've been working on it for 3.5 weeks. And, oh, well.
Did you get something good to eat?
I saw some cake in the room. And you brought me some wonderful cake. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, Jane, our deaconess Jane, makes a special cake that makes you forget about all your worries.
I have to agree. I've tried one of the cakes. They were really good.
Incredible. But I was going to eat it, but I couldn't find any pieces left.
Sharon.
That was a trial of my faith.
So we definitely need to pray for your computer.
Yeah.
Yeah. You never know. If you branch out a little, somebody might come along that knows about computers.
Now, if you ever find that cake, you're going to have to share it. Right?
That's right. You fix computers?
Anybody else?
You're looking at me.
Yes, Dan, I know you usually have something. Come on top of what I'm talking about.
Bail you out, huh?
Come on, bail me out, because...
Yeah, I have a certain individual that the Lord has brought into my life. That makes my skin crawl to be around him. And I love him to death, and I know God has brought him into my path for a reason. And I know it's working the patience in me that's desperately needed. And it's no fun, but I know for a fact that's God's way of doing things. And it ain't going away. And if you just relax and let it happen, like I said, the patience will, all of a sudden it'll be there. When you do, and you, it grows like that leaven. The leaven's the lump, you know. You don't know it, but you are getting, it's growing inside you. And then one day you go, I've been talking to him for an hour. He doesn't drive me crazy anymore. I'm enjoying his company. And I think I'm doing him some good, too. So, yeah, perseverance, you know.
You've been eating some of your wife's cake.
I wish it was that simple.
Well, I'm glad it wasn't me.
No, it wasn't you.
Oh, good. If it's a person driving me crazy, it must
be Jenny. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Skin problem. When did we start going to the dermatologist, Mark? Like April of last year?
Yeah.
5 or 6 visits. Send me to another doctor. Now this doctor wants to do a surgery that has to be okayed by the insurance, so I'm waiting on insurance. Then we got to wait on my doctor to okay taking me off the medication. And then we have to wait for the surgery date, and the whole time I'm trying to hold on to this insurance, it's tripled in price this year. So it's just, yeah, patience is being tried.
Right.
Over and over again, and the fifth time I go in, and like, we don't deal with that here. So then why do you have to keep coming back?
How can you pull the joy out of that situation?
I just trust that there's going to be more divine appointments. I've had a blast talking to the nurses.
That's a start.
And praying nurses through the sinner's prayer and talking about Trace Diaz and talking about Jesus and getting the crowd out in the lobby involved. And when I went with Mark, this man was all over it. And,
oh, he does that, that's for sure.
All over at the plastic surgeon's office. He was helping everybody, talking to everybody. So that's where the joy comes in, is being with the people and being able to pray with people in their time of need.
That's true. Well, then I was talking to Sylvia before church, and she was talking about circumstances and situation. But talking to somebody will sometimes help your joy come out, just getting it off your chest. Sometimes you need to get it off your chest. It doesn't mean that you're being negative. But sometimes it plugs up your head where you gotta release it.
And just talking to you helped. But talking to you helps all the time. But I think it helped a lot.
Hold on. Justin, your turn.
I was gonna say how cool that hour I spent with Uncle Stan was, but I didn't know he felt that way. That's what to know.
No, it wasn't.
I'd say the trial and tribulation of losing a pet that I've had for a very long time is an example of, very recently, is an example of having to endure tough trials, but at the same time also the prayers and support that people have been giving as a way to get joy in the tough situation that having to deal with, like, the post-loss of him. So I'd say, of a pet that I've had for a long time, I'd say that the prayers and support that people from church have been giving in the situation, I'd say that's an example of
building your faith,
yeah, but also giving joy, you know, through the loss of something that I've had for a long time.
We were thinking about you. You could ask Stan, when I lost my dog, I tell you, I didn't want to speak to anybody for 3 days, you know, just curl up in a ball. And I started looking for the exact same pet, and I was looking online, and I was like, I'm not going to spend $2,000 on that dog. And I keep looking and looking, but a friend of ours, we don't have her anymore, but we had a friend, and she called up. She goes, Jane, somebody is posting a dog on Facebook that maybe you could get. And so anyway, I believe that the Lord sent me Theo to replace Belle, and that brought a lot of joy to me. And it was a miracle. It was a miracle puppy. But anyway, I know what you got. That's a hard thing to do.
Yeah, it is.
It's like missing a family member.
It is, because he was like a brother to me.
Oh.
I've had him for a very, very long time.
Oh, well. Hopefully we'll get through that, and I know it's bad.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, well, Lord bless you, and Lord bless me too.
Amen.